I had to figure out the hard way that relationships, actually caring about them, is the most important part. Welcome back to Teacher Tales, where we give you the keys to overcoming teacher burnout to find work-life balance and educational bliss if it still exists. On this interview episode, Cindy and I share her journey from teacher to leader, unfolding the highs and the lows of the education profession, from having to navigate classroom dynamics to the transformative power of mentorship. Listeners will gain valuable insights into fostering meaningful connections with students and colleagues. Okay, so, Ward, Cindy, C-Dub?
C-Dub.
I don't even know what name to go with. Welcome back. We've been, this has been in the works for years.
Absolutely. So, I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so glad to have you on. So obviously we have to start at the beginning. How long have you been in education? What did you teach? And I guess what roles have you had?
Oh, wow. So I've been in education for 29. This is my 29th year. So I started out in Bryan ISD. At a campus where they said, if you can teach here, you can teach anywhere. We were 95% free and reduced lunch. And oh, wow. We were government housing just surrounded us. And I was fifth grade and I was math and science. And I taught there for 4 years and stayed with fifth grade, but moved around the state. I was in Katy. And then I was in a small town. My my stepdad passed away. So I went to a small town in Texas, a 1A school. And I was the fourth, fifth and sixth grade math teacher there. Made it to San Antonio area, third grade teacher there. Went to Pflugerville ISD, had lots of roles in Pflugerville, was there for 9 years, but I was a math interventionist for a 3-4-5. My principal took me to junior high with her. I was an Algebra 1 teacher and a co-teacher, so I had an inclusion class of eighth grade math. And then I decided to get my master's degree. I was teacher of the year at that campus. I was teacher of the year for the district there. And then I was teacher of the year for Region 13. Dr. Dupree was my superintendent. And so that's how I met him through all of that. And he encouraged me to go get my master's degree. So in 2008, I went and got my master's degree. And after being in as a teacher for 16 years, I taught every grade of math from third grade to Algebra 1, with the exception of seventh grade math. And I was a master math teacher. I just thought I was, I don't know what I was going to do. I was going to be a teacher. And so no one had encouraged me to get a master's degree except for my husband. And so when Dr. Dupree said that, I'm like, okay. My husband said, yeah. He goes, if you make the time, I'll give you the money. So I was still paying for my bachelor's degree, right? With student loans, all crazy. So it was nice to be able to afford a master's degree. I was not prepared for administration. I thought that all teachers taught like me. And I didn't want administrators in my classroom because I didn't want them to see all the yuck that might happen, right? Because you never know what's going to happen in the classroom.
You never know.
So, I was a master teacher at this time. We're in this program and they said, you got to come up with this strategy to help teachers be successful and students be successful. So I walked around these classrooms, kindergarten classroom, and the teacher's sitting at her desk and you got these 5-year-olds all over the room. And I'm like, how do you sit at your desk? I'm not able to sit at my desk and, I teach big kids. So, I came up with the Go-Yet strategy. You ever heard of it?
I haven't.
Go yet. Get off your ass and teach. Can I say that on here?
Sure. Go
so I was just amazed. Like, okay, how do I help someone who is comfortable with the chaos? Like, we've got to teach. We've got to make this happen. So when I got into administration, it didn't take long for me to realize that same is true for administration. You got to go, y'all, right? You have to get off your ass and leave. You have to be everywhere. You got to be in the hallways. You got to be going down there. And so anyway, I was an AP at elementary for several years. After Dr. Dupree left, I got a couple of interviews for a principal job back in Pflugerville. The new superintendent was not a Cindy fan. And so I got told no quite often. The committee would put me up as the best of two, and he would say, I like the other one. And then the committee would put me up for another campus, best of two, and he liked the other one. So the third time that happened with the committee, and it was the campus that I had opened as an AP, the deputy superintendent came to see me and said, Cindy, I think you need to, like, we hate to see you go, but.
Time to head out.
Time to head out. We believe in you, but you're not going to get that principalship. And so she told me to go to high school. And I'm like, high school? What? And she's like,
different animal.
Yeah. I said, I've never even thought about high school. And so she told me about some high schools. Well, so we ended up, I interviewed for several things, but I came back to this district, Schertz, and I was the number one choice for the AP at the high school, Clemens High School here in Schertz. And it changed my life being at the high school. Like, I fell in love. Well, first of all, I got to tell you truthfully, in the first 9 weeks, I had seen and taken pictures of more drugs than I'd ever seen in my life. I was like, what? This is crazy.
In high school?
So I had a big learning curve. You know, I was already had success at coaching teachers and helping teachers grow or helping teachers go, right? Some people just need help getting out of the profession. And, you know, I say love them up or love them out, right? And so I don't ever want to hurt someone's career, but sometimes that's not the career for them and they know it. And so I try to partner with them on that. Like, how can we be a partnership on this? Because this is really about you. And you're healthy, you know, your health and your happiness.
I think that's huge because a lot of times, like, we can get stuck. And then if the money is good enough, which I think in teaching, and if you teach in certain places, the money is good enough, right? There's a lot of talk about the money and we need to get more, and I will take more money. Don't get me wrong. But it can get to a point where you're just comfortable. And then if you don't have somebody saying, maybe you should try something else and let me help you get out of here, because this is not what you really want to do, that can be a light bulb moment. And I think when we can, I think a lot of times, because we are doing something that we don't want to, when we are comfortable, that can lead to like this burnout that, you know, that we talk about all the time. So in your 29 years, have you ever like felt burnout? And then, like, I would say, what positions caused the most burnout for you?
You know, I think just my personality type, if I'm too stuck in a rut, I got to go do something different. You know, I got to give myself a challenge, give myself a thing. So I know that for me, you know, 3 to 5 years is my, you know, sweet spot in a position and or role. And I feel like, okay, what are you doing to grow yourself to the next level, to the next whatever it is? And so that's kind of helped me. I've been, you know, kind of re-energized in this position. So I, you know, made it to be an elementary principal, a high school principal. Loved it. Loved that role. And then I thought I was going to retire last year. And then finding this role has really reinvigorated me. And so I think I got 3 to 5 left, you know, in this role. Like, let's go.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So the burnout. So what, yeah. And like I said, I think I'm thinking more now like a leader pivot works for me rather than burnout. And trust me, sometimes that leader pivot, which is possibly burnout. I think it should be a 4-letter word. You need to rest. I mean, like, you need to, like, recover from whatever that is. Sometimes there's, you know, and I hate this word trauma because we sometimes tend to overuse it, but you have to heal from that exhaustion or that, you know, whatever that is.
Right, right. Life is difficult. Like, I think, especially when I hear kids talk about now, like, I want to be stress-free or drama-free, or they want this easy life. And I'm pretty sure I thought the same way when I was a kid. I think that it's not just a generational thing. It's just that I'm in a position, or we're in a position, to hear these conversations. But any life that is making a difference is not going to be drama-free. It's not going to be stress-free, because you're going to have to deal with people. And we all have these internal arguments with ourselves. Like, how involved do I want to get? How messy do I want to get? Because people are messy. You know, we like different things. We have different ideas. We have different skill sets. Some people work hard. Some people don't work hard if they're not in the right area, right? And so these things, I think, can cause a lot of stress and sometimes trauma. Like you said, it's a little overused because people feel like everything should just be easy. Like, I'll get to this place where it's easy. Like, I got it. I'm good to go. I can just ride off into the sunset. But that's just not how a purpose-filled life works, right? Because you're going to want to be challenged in these different ways. So what are some ways that you feel like you have been challenged, you know, throughout your long life in education?
Sure. I think sometimes the challenges, right? Learning. It's always a learning piece. Like, stepping out of a role that you have been in, right? Like, let's say you've taught the same subject for, you know, 5 years. What is the next challenge? What is the next learning curve? And for me, maybe it's another level of that subject or content. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is a new role. And then what is that learning? That's a challenge. I remember the first time I was put over testing. I was the testing coordinator as an assistant principal. Boy, was that a challenge. It was not a challenge I enjoyed. And then when I was named the administrator over special education, you know, that was a challenge. And I had to learn all the things. So that's been a couple of challenges. And then, of course, when you're dealing with staff and students and parents, you know, every single one of them is a learning experience because they're all different. Mm. So those can be a challenge, and you have to be open to those challenges and how they, you know, this is an exciting challenge now because I get to learn you, right. You know.
If you were talking to a teacher going through some of these challenges, what would you say are some emotions or feelings that are associated with this? So you can kind of think of it like a timeline. I did this with my kids in class. Yeah. I said, so you may start off the challenge maybe, oh, this sucks, right? There may be some angst, maybe some anticipation, and then maybe you move into acceptance, right? And maybe it becomes fun. Maybe there's some sign of relief, right, as you get to the end of the timeline or when you've figured out the challenge, so to speak. So what would you say is like the emotional timeline? Oh, that's great. Emotional timeline of these challenges.
Yeah. I think at first we're all guilty of just kind of like, ugh, you know, the angst and the whatever, whatever the negative emotion is, we have to like, okay, that's usually first. It. Yes, it's usually first. And then it's, I mean, there's several ways I think that we do it. I think for me, it's like, okay, so how is this going to help me down the road? You know, how is this, how can I, and I don't like the word spin it because that sounds like you're not even allowing that time for it to be, you know, it is what it is. But at some point you have to utilize that challenge for your gains, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I try real hard to, or at least I did. And when I was facing challenges every day, right? Like, okay, this is okay. I know that this is going to end well. Mm-hmm. So let me just embrace this while I'm going through it. It's going to be okay. So the timeline kind of condenses Yeah, your timeline condenses when you're just like, and you know, when you're in that principal role, boom, 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 you know, you've got a challenge as soon as you walk out this door. And then you walk into this door and you're facing a challenge with another person. And you're like, okay, how do I be in this moment? How do I make sure I'm my best and not go to, you know, let's condense that timeline because I can't live in stuck, right?
I like that. Condense the timeline. Okay, go through the emotion, deal with it. Do it as quickly as you can so that now we can get into like accept. You use the word utilize. How can I utilize this experience to now, I don't want to say turn it into a positive, but I would say utilize it so that now you have that experience to lean on when you need it again, right? Put it in your tool belt. That's the word we use a lot.
That's a good one. And that is good too. I like the way you didn't say positive, but tool belt, because sometimes you don't want that tool, but you got it in case you need it.
You got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I would liken it to like when we go through tragedy, and then that could be like losing a loved one. That could be, you know, tons of different things. But now you can empathize when other people are going through those kinds of tragedies. So like it's the things that aren't great, things that are difficult in life. Those are the things that bring us together more than the things that are cool, you know, the surface level, you know, the sports and that kind of stuff. So I truly believe that. And when we can build those bonds with those empathy mechanisms, then we are closer to those people, because shared pain is nothing like it.
You know, I think when you and I first met, you hadn't been teaching for very long. And I remember thinking, you know, these are my baby teachers, right? These are the ones who are new to the profession. They're fresh and they're ready to go. They're going to change the world. And they're facing all this mess that are burning out people my age, right? Or with my experience. And I just wanted to embrace you because you are getting it right through it all, right? And so when I say getting it right, that sounds too easy, but you focusing on the mindset and making sure you're still all about the students. And so I often used to think in the building, like, watch the kids, they're getting it right. It's the adults, right, that need to figure it out. And then in the pandemic, or right after the pandemic, when we're coming back, that was my focus too. Let's look at these baby teachers and make sure that we're getting it right by them and we're learning with them because they're showing us the way.
Yeah, oftentimes in schools, everything is about the kids, the kids, the kids. I would always say it's about the people because there are other people here too. Like, we got to make sure our teachers are taken care of. But we also need to look out for our admin. We also need to look out for our janitors. We also need to look out for our testing coordinators and our specialists and our SPED, our paras. Like, there's so many more people in here than just the kids. And so if you have adults that feel great about coming to school and great about their team, then that's going to make a world of difference in how they interact with their kids, you know, emotionally, you know, and teaching wise. There's so much more that's happening on campus than just children. Like, we got to take care of everybody as much as we can. So I like that you said that. Well, I got to take care of these teachers, you know, because those are the people that are in the classrooms.
Yes. Yes, yes.
So I would say one more question and then we get to our five W's.
Uh-oh.
What surprised you most about being a teacher? So, like, think back to those first days or months or years in the classroom. You can go any level with this as well, because you've taught, you know, every level, you know, elementary through high school. So what surprised you most about being a teacher? Yeah.
Okay. So it's a very cool story, but I'm not prepared for this. That was the big thing. Right. Day one, no one prepared me for this. I graduated from Texas A&M University. Whoop. And I have a actual instruction, right, degree, INST. Mm-hmm. And interdisciplinary studies. And I was not prepared. I was not prepared for the poverty. I was not prepared for privilege. I was not prepared for, the things, discipline. You know, like he didn't. I had a kid that didn't want to listen to me. He just walked out of my class. I'm like, what? How does that happen? Yeah. Like, no one prepared me for
you
this.
You can't just leave. What are you doing? You can't just walk out.
You just walked
this
out.
This is school.
Yeah, no one told me that was going to happen. And so the first 6 weeks was real hard. I didn't have great classroom management, and I cried a lot. And I was, just like, I feel like a prison warden, not a teacher. What am I teaching them? And then it was funny because I was trying all these things like rewards. Like if you do this, this, and this, then you get to pick, so I was trying something. And they all picked, like when they would get their choice, they wanted time with me. I'm like, what? Why do you want time? Like, why don't you want a candy bar or a donut,
That's easier.
That's easier. But time with me? Why do you want time with me? And I had to figure it out the hard way that relationships, like real relationships, caring about them is the most important part. And I wasn't prepared for that.
Wow. That's a whole episode. Just shooting the breeze with your kids and how much of a difference it makes. We don't have time to talk about that. Right?
We don't.
That's a whole hour that I know we could really go into. So we're going to go into the five W's. It's such a pleasure to just have you. There's so many things I could just talk about right now. Okay. We're going to go with who, what, when, where, or why. You can choose which one you want to go with first.
Who?
Who in education has helped you the most? This could be another teacher. This could be a principal. This could be maybe some of the people you talked about earlier.
I'm going to go back to that, baby teacher that I was way back in the day. And I was a big fifth grade hallway, right? And so I was one of many teachers. And this woman who was my mother's age, almost to the day, birthday, had all the things. And for whatever reason, she took me under her arm and was just real with me. And she was a mess. She was so hilarious and just over the top at everything. Jeanette James is her name. And
shout out.
She's no longer with us, but that woman was an educator. And I remember when I was on the floor with my kids and we were all reading because of this program that we had. And she came in and she brought me a Coke on the floor. And she said, you need to get up before you go to sleep, because they'll fire you. I can sleep at my desk, but you can't. And she would show me, like, you see that? You see that teacher over there walking her kids in a straight line? She's got classroom management. You and I don't. We got to figure something out.
Miss James.
Shout out to Miss James. She grew me up.
We need those people. Okay. Well, next W. What, when,
okay.
Where, or why?
Oh, yeah. Why? Oh.
Why do people quit teaching?
That's a good question. I don't know if people quit teaching. They may quit the profession, but if you're called to teach, you're teaching something else. When you want to teach, the best leaders, I think, are teachers, because you have to do it with others. You have to teach others, even if they're adults.
The people who are teachers, they never quit teaching.
Right. I think the ones that quit the field of maybe public education could be the system.
Right. And those people are probably teaching somebody somewhere else.
I like to think that. Yeah.
Okay. What, when, or where?
Let's go where.
Oh, this is good. Where'd you see yourself 5 years ago? Are you there, or did it change along the way?
where did I see myself 5 years ago? Mm-hmm. 5 years ago. Yeah, I thought I would be probably retired because I had a rule of 80, right? I was going to retire and someday I'll be an international educational consultant going around the world. Mm. Yeah, doing some culture work. So I've been from California to the Outer Banks of North Carolina. But I didn't retire. What was the other part of that question?
Did it change along the way?
Yeah, it changed. They came up with this job and I'm like, dang, that sounds like fun. So I applied and got it. Yeah, I'll do that.
I already knew it would change along the way. Okay, we have what and when.
Okay, what?
What is your favorite thing to teach other people? Like if you say you had a specialty, what would that thing be?
Okay, so I'm just going to tell you, there's two, right? It's twofold because I'm not in the classroom anymore. But when I was able to teach algebra all day long, I was like, I get to teach algebra all day long. This is so much fun. I love this. And I think when you love your content and you love your kids, they're going to love it too. Like they love me, so they're going to try to love that dang algebra. And so I just really loved teaching that. And my kids who went to geometry the next year, they would come to my house on Monday nights and get tutoring, you know. So that was a fun, fun time. And now I really love teaching leadership, you know, and growing leaders. And I mean that from all levels. I love growing student leaders. I love growing, you know, adult leaders. So that's the what.
When I was thinking of the answer for myself, that came up, leadership and communication, which is what I teach every day in class. So that's perfect for me.
That's your thing.
Okay, last question is when. When did you begin to feel confident in yourself as a teacher?
That's a great question.
My favorite question.
That is confident. Wow. I mean, I think, you know, the reality is every year and every 6 weeks, every 9 weeks, whatever your grading period is, you have your mess of not being confident because you have so many to get above that line. And so you're too busy digging people out of stuff to really feel confident. And so I think it's that reflection piece at the end of the year. And then we're all going like, okay, I'm going to do a better job next year, right? I'm going to get this. I'm going to be better. And so I think the confidence comes in that growth, you know. It was probably year five when I went. So I was moving from Bryan and I got divorced. I was a single mom, things going on in life, right? And it was hard. I went on a lot of interviews and I got every job offer. And I was like, I need to be confident. Like something's going, I got every job offer, you know? So it was a long time before I got told no for a job. So that was a confidence builder.
Wow. That is a great story to end us off. That's
okay.
Amazing.
Yeah. So five, how long it take you?
Maybe two.
Yeah.
I'm not really I mean, because I knew I was a teacher. Like, I had kind of these breadcrumbs along the way that I'm like, okay, once I get in here, I became a sub first. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I can do this. Like, after a week of subbing, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be a teacher. And then once I got into my content, that first semester, after that was done, and then we get into like the summertime and PD and stuff. And like, I'm looking around at my other teachers and I'm like, oh, like we are all in the same place. Like we're all trying to figure out, okay, I can do this. 1 year. And then the next summer, I'm like, oh yeah, I got it. I know what I'm teaching. I know people. So I'm good. So that was great.
That is great.
Before we leave.
Yeah.
Before we leave. What advice would you give to a new teacher? And what advice would you give to a seasoned teacher?
You know, it's the advice I give often. And that's, you know, when you're in the trenches, try to lift your head up and out of the mess you're in or the stress you're in and look 5 years down the line. Because this is just the moment. It's going to be okay.
With that being said, you are going to be okay out there. Teacher listening, administrator listening, educator, parent possibly, you're going to be okay. Lift your head out the trenches. Take a step outside. Touch some grass. You're going to be okay. C-Dub, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Miss you.
I hope you all enjoyed the conversation between me and C-Dub, Cindy. It was a pleasure having her on, as I knew it would be. That's why I invited her. She was great to me as a principal, and she always just shared this love. That's the person that I know. Before we get out of here, remember, empathy and relationship building go a long way with your students and your colleagues. It's okay to be vulnerable, at least a little bit. Also, in life and in education, there will be roadblocks, but where there's will, there's a way. You have the power to find a way around, above, but probably through whatever you're facing. As always, thank you for listening. Keep teaching, keep learning, and I will see you all on the next journey.